Good morning. We come together to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Psalm chapter 18, verse 3, NRSV. All are sincerely welcome to this service of worship and praise. My name is Barb Mostaghimi, and I'm a member of the Zion Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on K-Check Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys, concerns, and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by the Brown family in memory of Paul and Mary Brown. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. We welcome Reverend Dr. Kevin Cassidy Maloney for being here today and sharing his message with us. Here is a little bio about him. Reverend Dr. Kevin Cassidy Maloney is a 1983 graduate of United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities, where he also received a Doctor of Ministry in 2005. Exploring points of convergence between Christianity and Buddhism. He and his wife, Reverend Jo Cassidy Maloney, began their ministry as co-pastors in Henderson, where they served from 1983 to 1989. They are both now retired in Apple Valley, and their church home is Creekside UCC in Minneapolis. Kevin values a progressive Christianity that seeks to further love and justice in the world and in its systems and structures. He is an incurable punster, and he and Joe love road trips, including this short trip into the Minnesota River Valley. Reminder of new office hours, Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to noon, and 1 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., Fridays by appointment. Please have all things in for September newsletter by Monday, August 24th. The Le Sueur Food Shelf is accepting donations of school supplies for local students. Bring your donations to Zion during the month of August. The 156th anniversary of Dresselville and Tyrone Evangelical Church's Labor Day service of worship and picnic is on Monday, September 7th, 2026, at 11 a.m. with potluck lunch following service. This will take place at Salem Historical Church, 26089 320th Street, Le Sueur. A free will offering will be taken, and everyone is invited to bring a dish to pass, table service, tables, and chairs. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on September 9th. On Sunday, September 13th, the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
here we are, another school year, another step forward, another beginning. New lessons, new challenges, new faces, new experiences. And though we all may feel a little anxious and uncertain, we know God is right here, walking beside us every step of the way. He's with the parents and family, giving them opportunities to be present and involved in their students' lives, and giving them the wisdom to help with all the challenges to come. He's with the teachers, giving them peace and patience, energy and enthusiasm as they impact these young hearts and navigate the obstacles of another school year. He's with the students, giving them confidence and strength, a yearning for knowledge and a mission of kindness, giving them opportunities every day to show His love to everyone around them. Another school year is another chance. A chance to learn and to grow. A chance to persevere through hardship and celebrate through victory. And most importantly, another chance to reflect God to those around us. To shine His light brightly so that all may feel the love, kindness, and joy that He has so graciously given us.
Good morning. Please join in the call to worship. If not for God, we would be looking for love in all the wrong places. Our help is in the name of God, who made heaven and earth. If not for God, we would be utterly lost, exhausting our resources in trying to stay on top of life. Our help is in the name of God, who made heaven and earth. If not for God, we would look at life's difficulties and injustices and say, "That's the end of the story." Our help is in the name of God, who made heaven and earth. So let us worship together, telling the story of God's love, made known in Jesus Christ, the new life we find in our risen Christ. Our help is in the name of God, who made heaven and earth. Amen.
Please be seated. It is a joy for Joe and me to be able to be here this morning. It's kind of neat to come back into the area where we began our ministry 43 years ago across the river in Henderson. I'm not sure I'm pointing in the right direction, somewhere over there. So anyway, thank you for inviting me to preach, and I'm grateful to be able to be part of this worship experience as we gather strength to do the work God calls us to do. And part of that work is simply looking honestly at who we are as individuals, who we are as a church, who we are as a nation, as a global community, identifying ways in which we're not quite where we might want to be, perhaps, and opportunities to grow. With that in mind, let us join in our prayer of confession. Oh God, you present us with so many opportunities for growth and learning, but we are not always the willing and eager students we might be. You lure us forward into more active service in the work of peace and justice, but we imagine these issues are way too big for us, and all too often we do nothing at all. You invite us to be transformed into new creatures in Christ, but we cling to the old self and the old ways, even when we know it's time for a change. Forgive us for all that holds us back in our journeys of faith, and restore us to life in all its fullness, the life we know in Jesus Christ. Amen. God has named us beloved, forgiven, and chosen. So let us celebrate that God's love erases even the worst of our sins.
We are
peace of God be with you always.
And also with
you.
Thank you.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seeing hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
We come now to the prayers of the people, and I did receive a card that we are praying for John Lave, for healing for him. Are there any other cards or any other prayers that would be lifted up this morning in particular? Okay, then I invite us now into a time of opening our hearts to the fullness of God's love as we enter into this period of prayer. Gracious God, we are thankful for the gift of life, simply waking up to a new day, being able to appreciate all that life involves. We are thankful for the beauty of your creation, for the crops that are heading toward hopefully a successful harvest. Pray for all those who tend these farmlands. We're thankful, God, for the earth and its wonderful diversity of flora and fauna, the beauty that is in every nook and cranny. And we pray that we can do, all of us, a better job of caring for this beautiful planet that you've given us, that we can be good stewards of the earth and its fullness. We thank you, God, for the old, old story that is ever new, the story of your love, manifesting in the life of Jesus and manifesting in our lives as we are open to allow that to happen. We would lift up prayers for John, for his healing, and prayers for any others who need healing of body or spirit or mind. Special prayers this day for the school system, all of those who are involved, from administrators all the way extending out to those who care for the building. They are no less important than those who do the instruction. For staff and students at all levels, pray that your spirit might work in ways that are sometimes surprising, perhaps leading people into new places of understanding and discovery that they would not have anticipated. And we thank you, God, for bringing us together this morning as a gathered community in Jesus' name. Pray that this time can strengthen our commitment to love and justice, that we can go forth from here with a little more joy in our hearts and some hope and a determination to rebuild the world according to the vision that you have for who we can be as individuals and as a people. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. Appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform to this age, but be conformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern that in the will of God what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, or to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering to teacher, in teaching the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, and the compassion in cheerfulness. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen.
Please join in the hymn, "Nearer My God to You," number 606.
Thank you.
The gospel lesson this morning is Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah. Some say John," as they told them, "but who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are again. As of tomorrow morning, it's back to school time for students here in the Le Sueur Henderson School District. Even if our second and third grade grandchildren back in Lakeville don't start until September 8th. I'm not sure they're upset about having to wait that long. High school and college football with matching marching bands, volleyball, tennis, cross country will soon be up and running, shall we say. Teachers will be teaching and students will be, getting their photos posted on Facebook and other social media as they mark that first day of the new school year and get to wear their back-to-school outfits. Oh, yeah, and I suspect there'll be some learning going on, too, hopefully. It's a wonderful time to pray for teachers, students, and staff at all levels. They need our prayers, maybe more now than ever, as they all engage in the hard work and the awesome adventures of education, not to mention staying safe in these tumultuous times, something that isn't necessarily a given anymore. We might offer prayers of thanksgiving, too, that at least in K through 12, education is freely available to everyone, and that this education makes all the difference in terms of our community, state, nation, and world functioning more effectively and hopefully more compassionately and wisely, too. And we might pray for all our children and youth to be really good students as they develop their minds and all of who they are, as they discover their skills and whatever their various callings in life might be. This is also a really good time to reflect on what it is that makes someone a really good teacher, the kind of instructor who might be worthy of being nominated for Teacher of the Year. Besides obviously having to know their stuff, of course, a Teacher of the Year caliber educator is someone who really knows how to connect with his or her students. Someone who builds relationships. Someone who's not afraid to challenge the students with questions for which frequently there aren't any easy or surface answers. Education is not simply a matter of simply depositing information into students as if they were some kind of inert human piggy bank, the banking model of education as some have named this. And this brings to mind the old poster of the top of the student's head being screwed off, sand poured in, and the top of the head being screwed back on, and now you've got your diploma. Doesn't really work that way. Education, I believe, is a much more fluid and mutual process in which the students are challenged to expand their minds to entertain new answers to seemingly simple questions, as well as pursuing the harder questions. And education works best when there's a genuine engagement and connection between students and teachers. Some of this is just obvious, but we forget that sometimes. Which brings us to Jesus, my early nominee for this year's Teacher of the Year. Well, this year, next year, and for all the years to come, presumably. As the Benedictine Lawrence Freeman points out in his book, Jesus, the Teacher Within, in the Gospels, Jesus is called rabbi or teacher more often than by any other title. And so it's not surprising that this morning's Gospel text portrays Jesus in exactly that very activity of teaching, with the core group of 12 disciples as his students. We overhear Jesus, the teacher, asking his students a question. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Initially, this question seems to be simply a matter of the students accessing their internal databases and retrieving the various ways they've heard people describe Jesus. Well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some say you're kind of a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah or Jeremiah or maybe Moses. Yeah, that's right, Jesus might say, but I know that. What about it? The disciples at this point are really puzzled. Well, what do you mean? What more do you want? They're not really sure what answer Jesus is looking for. And then Jesus asks a follow-up question for which there isn't any automatic answer and maybe not even a single right answer as such. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, Peter, as you'll remember, is always the impulsive apostle, and so he jumps in immediately and says, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus blesses Peter and lets him know that just as his name means literally in the Greek, rock, so Peter will become the rock on which the church of Jesus Christ will be built. So it might seem that we're right back to that banking model of education I mentioned earlier. Jesus' question, who do you say that I am, seems to have a right answer after all. Just like the first question about who do people say that I am. But Jesus never settles for a simple answer. In some ways, his entire ministry is geared toward helping us understand what it means whenever any of us might choose to say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the kind of question Peter might not answer so quickly. And that's the kind of question any of us might struggle to answer adequately. What does it mean if I say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? So that's the question for today. Who is Jesus for us? And whatever answer we give, I'm sure there are a lot of different answers if we were to take the time and call those out and have discussion together. Who is Jesus for us? A lot of different answers might include Messiah or Christ, the Son of the living God, maybe Savior, of course, teacher, as we've talked about, Jesus as healer, prophet, social revolutionary, and so on. But the question is, what difference does that answer make, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and how we live out the lives that we've been given here in this place, in this time? And how does living with and wrestling with that question shape who we are as people of faith and who we are as people gathered together in a church community? In light of this morning's text from Paul's letter to the Romans, we might ask, how does our wondering about who Jesus is lead to our being transformed by the renewing of our minds, no longer being conformed to this age or to the patterns of this world, as one translation has it. It's sort of easy to conform, at least for a lot of us, because we want to fit in. But Jesus and Paul here calls us to go farther and consider the possibility of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus isn't interested in theologically correct answers as much as he's interested in what directions our lives are moving. Where is the energy? The degree to which we are manifesting the love of God, which Jesus so clearly embodies. The openness of our hearts and minds to continue learning, as Paul says, what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and perfect, or as some translations have it, what is mature. Rather than being like Peter Pan, you know, who never wanted to grow up, never, 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 maybe we ought to be at least aiming at being mature, don't you think? Darn it anyway. in asking us, just like those earlier disciples, who we say Jesus is, we're not being asked a question about knowledge, but rather a question about how we live. It's like if we were asked, well, what does it mean to be a grandparent, or a parent, or a son, or daughter, or sibling, or spouse, or partner, or for that matter, a church? What does that mean? These kinds of questions don't have any easy and pat answers. Instead, they're questions that invite us to move more deeply into those very areas, to fully enter into and reflect on that experience of being a grandparent, or parent, or son, or daughter, or sibling, or spouse, or partner, being part of a church in all the specific ways that that experience might unfold for any of us. Now, certainly, if we were to share our experience in these areas with each other, there'd be a whole bunch of things that we would share in common, I suspect, but there would also be many particulars that differ from person to person. And in some cases, we might answer the question, what does it mean to be a grandparent? What does it mean to be a church? And so on, with a whole bunch more questions than answers. Depending on the circumstances, we may not be all that sure what it means to live in these roles. What it means, for that matter, to be part of a spiritual community of Christ. But daring to live with these questions and all the other questions of our life and our faith, daring to struggle with the places of mystery and not knowing, you know, we don't know what we don't know, right? Daring to struggle with all that is how we move forward in our life journeys and in our faith journeys. It's how we move forward into the abundant life which is ours in Jesus Christ. And as we overhear the answers of others, like, for example, Peter's very emphatic, unequivocal answer, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Christ, then we find more clarity within ourselves about the answers that make the most sense for us and where we are in life. The answers we hear may spark a whole bunch more follow-up questions. And this, in fact, I think, seems to be a hallmark of the Jesus model of education, where questions are not just tolerated, but they're encouraged. There's no wrong question, Jesus seems to be saying to us. We might ask, for example, is Peter saying Jesus is the Messiah, the one and only uniquely anointed one of God? And if so, how are we to understand then other spiritual teachers and prophets from other world religions, for example? Are they not anointed by God? Are they maybe sort of anointed partially by God? Do these other teachers and prophets have anything of value we might use, or is it wrong to even look in that direction? And if we were to proclaim, like Peter, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, does that mean that he has a special status that commands our worship and obedience, recognizing that, you know, as mortal human beings, we're made of something completely different than what Jesus is made of? Or perhaps is Jesus, the Son of the living God, a living model for us to emulate as best we can, so that we too can live into being more and more sons and daughters of God in our own right? In the Jesus model of education, we disciples, we students of Jesus, are not the passive students of the banking model waiting to have our heads, the top of our heads unscrewed and the sand poured in. We're not seeking the right answers as much as we're seeking the right questions that will engage us day by day in a living relationship with the risen Christ and with all God's creation. We're not seeking the right answers so much as the right questions that will engage us day by day in a living relationship with the risen Christ and with all God's creation. It's the poet Rainer Marie Rilke is said to have said something about basically daring to live the questions. Even if you don't have the answers, live the questions, and someday you'll live into the answers that you need. In the Jesus model of education, the relationship with Jesus, our teacher of the year, is central. And as we cultivate that core relationship, we can be sure Jesus will be asking us plenty of challenging questions, even as we keep on bringing our own questions to Christ. The essence of this is that as followers of Christ, we're lifelong learners. We never graduate. We might want to, There's something to be said for graduating, but it doesn't seem to work that way. And there's a whole lot of conversation, of course, in the world today about being lifelong learners, keeping our minds active and our hearts developing. And that fits in so much with the kind of journey we're called to have as followers of Christ. All in all, it is unquestionably, or maybe I should say questionably, a wonderful journey of faith that we travel together. In the Christian journey, school is always in session. Our spirituality is ever evolving and taking shape in new ways as circumstances challenge us, which, believe me, they do. Whether it's stuff going on in our own lives or outside these walls, there are many challenges, but our faith is evolving so that we can face those head on and together move things forward according to God's vision and God's call. We're called, all of us, to be good students, and we're called to seek out good teachers, including, first and foremost, Jesus, our Teacher of the Year. So may it be, now and always. Amen. And we come now to an important part of worship. The offering, obviously, is to sustain the ministry of Zion UCC, care of the building, staff, the many different expenses. But beyond that, the offering is an opportunity for us to say thank you to God, to develop the pattern of generosity in our living. So let us now receive our morning offering. Let us join now in our prayer of dedication. We dedicate this offering, O God, as a statement of our commitment to follow in the way of Christ. May these gifts transform us into the people and the church you would have us be. May these gifts be for the renewing of your whole world. We pray in the name of the Transformer, Jesus, our risen Christ. Amen. Now let us go forth, and as the prophet Micah calls us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. This may we do, now and forever. Amen. Serve the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.